The Lord is good, and all the time God is good. Hallelujah. I praise God for this wonderful opportunity that God has given unto us to come into His holy presence, to worship Him, to sing praises unto Him, and to experience His very presence in our life and His very power in our life. Even though we are very few, I believe that God is going to reveal Himself to us in a different manner this morning. And thank you, dear pastor, for inviting us to come to this place once again. I think in the month of September, we came for the Indian Christian Fellowship here for one day retreat, and that has kind of made the way for us to connect with this church once again. So we are so thankful for God for making us this possible. And we also like to thank you, our dear sister Amanda, my friend and my classmate, to give us a ride, volunteering herself. We have so many assignments and projects pending on Tuesday to submit, but she volunteered for us, so I thank you for that. And we request you to pray so that God would give us wisdom and knowledge to pursue our studies and equip ourselves so that we may be useful for His kingdom's sake. Shall we look to God in prayer? Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and what you are. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given unto us to come into thy holy presence to worship you. Lord, we may be very few people here, but we believe that your presence is very real unto us and you are going to speak to us. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to read one scripture for you that is found in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 31. If somebody can read for me, or I can read for you. Acts chapter 4, 31. Yes, please. Thank you. May the Lord bless us through the reading and hearing of His word. As Pastor has already mentioned, that you had already prayed for the persecuted church. And I appreciate for praying for that persecuted church. Churches are being persecuted not only in India or in my state, my district, my neighboring district in Orissa, but there are in the churches in the Middle East, churches in Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, and all these places, churches are being persecuted. People, those who put their faith in Christ, they are persecuted. Their lives have been in danger. However, the Bible promises that we will have trials and tribulations and sufferings and struggles and persecution. But ultimately, our King, our Master, Lord Jesus Christ, is the victor. The Christian community in India is concerned about the intensity of targeted and communal violence directed against the Christians and the churches. Violence against Christian community picked its high in the independent India during early 1990s, but the peak of the persecution came in 2007, 2008, and 2009. There are more than 1,000 incidents, thousands of crimes and violence and cases has been reported in almost every state of India. There are 6 states in India which has the entire anti-conversion law. That means we cannot convert people. They perceive that when we share the gospel and we share our faith, and if somebody comes to faith, the Indian Hindu brothers and sisters, they interpret that as a conversion. And because of that, they bring allegation and they will send police, and even the radical Hindus will try to kill and try to beat and try to destroy the houses. So I would like to show some of the persecution pictures before I speak to you from the Word of God, what is from the life of the early church. There are certain facts that we need to know what a church looks like. Okay, but I would like to speak to you about the persecution church. In 2007, 2008, and 2009, in my place, Orissa, people during the Christmas season, they were trying to celebrate the Christmas Eve from the 24th of December. 200 people came with weapons and swords and stick and fuel and started beating these Christian communities. There were four congregations together, four denominations together. They were putting up a kind of Christmas program in a field, open field. But this mob came up and started beating them, started chasing them, started breaking the churches and destroying the churches. And that is the starting point in 2007, December 24. Then it continuously went on up to 2008 and 2009. There was a Hindu guru or Hindu teacher, Swami Lakshmanananda, who was targeted by the Maoist, the extremist group. But when he was killed, the Hindu radicals and fundamentalistic groups, they pointed out the Christians. They blamed upon the Christians, saying, Christians have killed this man. Because this man, staying in a home, in an ashram, he was trying to reconvert people from Christianity to Hinduism. Therefore, there were some Maoists, they were in favor of Christians, because Christians are the minority community in India. Therefore, out of their ravage, out of their, I don't know what is to be called. They were angry upon him. They were furious upon him. And they went and killed him. But the entire Indian nation blamed upon Christian community and started persecuting severely more than what has happened in 2007. So they started persecuting, started killing people. So 104 pastors were killed, and 50,000 people became homeless, and more than 110 churches were burnt down. Even today, people are leaving away from those villages. There were many families, they returned back to the village, but they were reconverted to Hinduism forcefully. Therefore, there are many Christian communities spread out throughout India, and many have gone to Coimbatore, many have gone to Tiruvalla and Ooty to shelter themselves and to do some job and earn their living. Four families came into our family and we sheltered them. We took care of them. After a few days, we gave them some money to go back, and they went to Coimbatore, and they are working in the tea garden in Ooty, and they are working in Thiruvananthapuram in some other places. But in Orissa, wherever they went, they started churches. They started worshiping even in the plastic sheet. And that is going on even today, because people are afraid to go back to their land. Once they go back, again they will kill them. Again they will persecute them. So out of fear, they are not able to go to those places. So that is the state of Orissa. And down south, towards below, is my native place. And my wife comes from western part of Orissa. But the almost half of the states of Orissa, 13 districts, actually, there are 30 districts in Orissa. And out of 30 districts, almost 13 districts were persecuted severely. But more severely, Fulbani, Kandamal, and Gajapati, and Koraput districts were severely persecuted. Next slide, please. That's my family. The next one. There is a dead body. The body was being cut into 17 pieces and being packed up like this, and they are taking it to throw it away somewhere. Okay. Next one. That's the church being broken, destroyed. That is another church. They attempted to break it and burnt it. Another church was broken and burnt. The roof was completely destroyed. Walls and pulpit and everything was destroyed. That's another orphanage which was attacked near my wife's place, and a warden of that orphanage was burnt alive. That's the lady, Rajni. She was burnt alive. This is another second grade girl. She was also burnt, but she survived with a lot of burning in her face and body. These are the scriptures, the Holy Bible, which were kept in a storeroom, were burnt, and the Bible was completely burnt. A jeep was burnt. Another vehicle was burnt and destroyed. Some of the Christian goods were destroyed. Another vehicle was burnt and destroyed completely. The village houses, mud and thatch made houses, it was destroyed, burnt completely. These are hopeless evangelists looking at their houses, the devastation. There were thousands and thousands of families. They ran to the villages and jungles. And there you find a lady even given birth in the jungles during the 7 days of their village in the jungle when they were taking shelter. She gave birth to a child over there, and they are taking shelter in the jungle areas to try to save their lives, protect their lives. That's a Catholic father. He was attacked, and one of his leg was cut. So to protest against this, there came the sisters, the Catholic nuns and sisters. They were kind of making a peace rally during that time and after the persecution, actually. This is in my district. Another house was destroyed. Another worker was killed and he's dead. They were burning Christian goods and other materials. They're beating people with a big, big stick and rod. They are attacking again Christian and another jeep. This is the mob moving from one village to the other, another village, attacking houses, attacking churches, attacking Christians. So Christians, they were fleeing, you know, whatever they could take with them, they just running away. But these are the mobs. Look at them. So in a village, 20 families, 30 families, or hardly 100 families, but when 200 people come with the weapons and swords and sticks and fuel, who would stay there? They ran for their lives. Then they are putting their Hindu flag on the top of the church in Muniguda. And that's another house, and the village was destroyed completely. These are the people taking shelter in a place. It looked like another church which was not being destroyed. And thousands of people were living in the tent for several months with the police protection. Finally, government gave some police protection. But the complicity and complacency of the police forces in India also kind of encouraged the Hindu radicals to attack against Christians. I have gone to that place 4 times to distribute reliefs. It's a very pathetic condition. There is another lady being hopeless and lost everything. People are fleeing from the houses through jungles to take shelter in the jungles. Then after some times, again, All India Christian Council, they came up with a peace rally protesting that give us protection, give us safety and security. Hopeless and helpless situation. Mother and children, they are lying down without food, in hunger and in thirst. And again, people are fleeing from such kind of situations to save their lives. Then some of our ministry pictures I would like to show you. This is our 2 daughters God has given to us, beautiful daughters. Then in Calcutta, in the river Ganges, I'm baptizing some new converts. That is the testimony that I shared in the Sunday school. Mr. Nandulal, who is standing over there, he took earlier baptism. Now his family members are taking baptism. So I'm baptizing them in the river. Next one, please. Another lady is taking baptism. So maybe while the slide goes on, I would like to speak from the book of Acts, that the scripture portion that we have read, and you can see there, and also you can hear to what Lord has to speak to us. So even today, India has been facing persecution. And the present government, the Modi government, is not in favor of Christians, because he himself was a very radical Hindu and comes from BJP, Bharatiya Janata Party, and also RSS group. So he was a proclaimer, he was a preacher of RSS. Therefore, in his blood and in his gene, the fundamentalistic view and motive and radicalism is very much there, even though we Christians have voted for him. And a Christian man of God prophesied on him to become the prime minister, and he became the prime minister. But ever since he became the prime minister, since 2014, many churches have been destroyed and many people have been in trouble, great trouble. Okay. Severe persecution broke out in 2008, 7, and 9, but still the churches are being attacked even today. So those are some of our ministry activities going on, which is there on the screen, you can see. But Acts chapter 4 is an account of a church at prayer. It talks about a church which is on its knee, which is a praying church. And in this church, there are wonderful things are happening. When we read this scripture portion, like verse 31, it tells us that there was an earthquake. When people have prayed, after prayer, there was a shaking. The building began to tremble. The power of the Lord was manifested in the church. And everyone who were present in that building, all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak boldly. Not only they prayed, but they spoke boldly. They witnessed boldly. There was a unity in the church. The church had a great power. And grace of God was upon every believer, every member of that congregation. Have you ever seen God's power being released in and through the church? A local assembly of people. If so, that must have been a praying church. That must have been a church in unity. For the power of God operates through a praying church, through a prayer church. We can pray, we can believe, and we can receive. Or we can pray, we can doubt, and we can reject. There was a small church in Seoul, South Korea. And the pastor used to teach two things to do for his congregation members. He used to tell them, pray and witness. 4 a.m. in the morning, they began a prayer ministry in the church. 4 a.m. in the morning, people would come to the church and begin to pray. That church received the power of God. The power of God was released in that church. Marvelously, that church was blessed. And I hope you all know about Paul Yonggi Cho, in Seoul, a South Korean pastor. He taught them two things, prayer and witness. This church was very short in every other area, but this church was very long in prayer and witnessing. You know what is the result? Today, they have 1,500,000 members in that church. They begin worshiping 4 a.m. and they end their last service at 12:30 in the midnight. Millions and millions of people in that church. That's the result of the prayer. That's the power of the prayer. That's the revelation of God's power being demonstrated in that church. And today, they are sending their missionaries to other parts of the world. As a result, many of that particular church has even come to Asbury Seminary to train up themselves. And many of them have come to India to do the mission and to serve Indian church. That should be the pattern of our church today, wherever we may be. Because a praying church can be a powerful church. A praying church can be a witnessing church. A praying church brings the pattern of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. So I would like to focus four facts from the early church. The early church was a praying church. There are ample evidences in the book of Acts and even in the New Testament that the early church was a praying church. Acts chapter 12 verse 5, we read about Peter being jailed. Peter was in prison and the church prayed for him very intensely. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made earnestly to God by the church. And we know the story how Peter was rescued from that prison and went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. There were people gathered together. And you know what they were doing? They were praying. In the house of John Mark, they were praying. And by then, John Mark was gone with Paul and Barnabas. That was a praying church. When church was praying with a unity, God released marvelously Peter from the jail. King Herod wanted to kill him. When he killed John's brother James and he was targeting Peter, but Peter was in the prison and the church began to pray for him. There are a number of evidences we have in the book of Acts about how the church faced its persecution. They were strictly told not to speak the name of Jesus, not to proclaim the good news, not to proclaim the gospel, but they were boldly speaking the good news. John Newton's mother used to pray 1 hour daily. She died when John Newton was 7 years of age. From 7 years till 27 years, he was drug addict, he was alcoholic, he ran away from the Lord. He didn't know who the Lord was. But at the age of 28, when he was on his sick bed, he gave his life to Jesus. His life changed. Then this man wrote a beautiful hymn for us, Amazing Grace. That was the result of his mother's prayer. When he died, the entire London closed down. Shops were closed down. Parliament was closed down because of the result of his mother's prayer. And we know another evidence of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Their mother, Susanna Wesley, had 19 children, but she managed to pray 1 hour daily for these children. And out of 19 children, 2 children came up to serve the Lord, to whom we know today as John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Dear friends, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 talks to us. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and return from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And it goes on to say, my ears will be attentive to their prayer that they make in this place. Amen. These days, the real problem is the prayer life of the church. If that problem will be solved, everything else will be solved. Every other problem will be solved. When the prayer life of the church is powerful and effective, then a praying church quickly becomes a revived church. And that church become a worshiping church. That church become a soul-winning church. That church become a giving church. That church become a spiritual church. And that church become a sending church. That was the kind of church we have in the book of Acts with the early church. The early church was a praising church. The second fact, the early church was a praising church. Acts chapter 2 verse 47 reads to us, when the believers were gathered together and they were praising, they were fellowshipping, they were breaking the bread, but they were praising. And Acts chapter 16 verse 25 says to us, when Paul and Silas, they were in the prison, they were chained, but in the middle of the night, what they were doing? They were praising the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. They were singing great hymns. That was not a suitable time. That was not a comfortable time, convenient time. They didn't say, Lord, how can we worship you? We are being chained. Their hands, their waist, and their legs were chained, but their mouths were open, their hearts were open to the Lord. So they were praising the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. And you know what is the result? Earthquake came. A trembling came. A shaking came into that building as well. So in the first evidences, we saw that when they were praying, the building shook. God shook their building, the place where they were sitting and praying. In this place, in a prison, they were praising the Lord, and the building shook again. The earthquake came again. That's the kind of God we have. In Nepal, very recently, you might have heard the stories, the incidents, the news. Severe earthquake came, a devastating earthquake came and destroyed everything in Nepal. You know why? Maybe it could be sound, or I may sound a little judgmental. Lord, forgive. There was a Hindu man from India, went to Nepal, and he was conducting a kind of yoga, teaching them Hindu philosophical yoga systems in a big field, open field. That was the time God's wrath came upon the land. When people sin against God, He is a kind God, He is a just God, He is a merciful God. But when our attitudes, our emotions, and our actions goes against God's will and God's purposes, who knows, sometimes God may chastise us. God may punish us. We never know. That's the kind of talk going on, that because of this, this has happened. But not one time, not two times. Several times the earthquake came in Nepal and destroyed everything. But here, it's a contrast. People are praising, people are praying, and God is sending an earthquake. My dear church, my dear people of God, I would like to encourage you today. Even though we may think that we are very few, how can we pray? Nobody is there. I believe the day is coming, not too far enough, this church will be filled with the people. If you want to see the miracle, you need to bend down yourself and come onto your knees and pray to this God who answers our prayer, and who does mighty and miraculous things beyond our imagination, beyond our thinking. We need a unity. That's why God said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. God is here with all of us, and He would do the mighty things that we may not have thought of or we may not have imagined of. That is what I believe, that God is going to send more people. But you need to do two things, prayer and witness. If you simply pray and without witness, your prayer will not have any effect. If you need your church to be more powerful and effective, it is necessary for every member of the church to come onto the knees and pray to the Lord who answers our prayer. The early church was a praising church. Paul and Silas at midnight, they were praying and praising. Even though their situation was not positive, not comfortable, there was a violent earthquake. That is what the Bible talks about. And the places were shaken, and they were, the jailer thought that these people have left. But God can shake you and me even today. God can shake your Indianapolis and your region even today. When you praise Him, when you worship Him, when you glorify Him. The third fact I would like to say, the early church was a proclaiming church. Not only it was a praying church, not only it was a praising church, but it was also a proclaiming church. Acts chapter 6 verse 7 says, preaching of God's word was flourished. In spite of the persecution that was growing on, they began to proclaim the good news. And this church need to be a sending church. There is an example being cited in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1 to 10. There were two churches, two places the church became an example. In Macedonia and Achaia, the faith that they had in God, their faith and the message that they preached, that rang out to everywhere in the world. That is what the Bible says. So today, your faith, you should not fear to limit your faith in God. We have a big God, and He does big things and great things. We may be a few people, and we may be short in many other areas, but if we pray in spirit and in the power of the Lord, the Lord will make everything long enough. And this church, the gospel message has gone out of you to every place. Your faith in God has gone out. That means they did not keep quiet. They did not remain silent. They did not remain complacent. Rather, they proclaimed wherever they went. That is what we do. I do. Since I come from an operation mobilization background, even if I sit in the train, even if I travel by bus, the person next to me, I will definitely share the gospel with him. I will try to engage myself in a conversation. In a simple question, I will ask, where are you going? What is your name? What are you doing? That's the starting point. Then we will engage into a kind of conversation and share the gospel to him. Any church that is not carrying out the Great Commission is out of mission. Any church that is not carrying out the Great Commission is out of commission. Acts chapter 13, verse 49. In all regions, God's word increased. God's word flourished. Let it be the same here as well in Indianapolis. You may be thinking, you may be considering, oh, I am an engineer. I'm working in such and such a place. I have no time to witness. Dear friends, 24 hours a day. We don't work 24 hours. Even in our own workplace, we can be a witness. When the power of the Lord goes with us, wherever we go, we carry the power of the Lord with us. Therefore, we need not be ashamed of the gospel, as Paul speaks very clearly in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 15 and 16. Wherever we go, God's power goes with us. God's good news goes with us. God's gospel message goes with us. Because we are the light bearer. We are the messengers of the Lord. And we need not be afraid of anything. In India, my Indian brothers and sisters are there. They know very well. They come from South India. South India has a little bit more of Christian population than North India. And their people began to pray and send their missionaries to Northern India. Because North India was considered as the graveyard of the mission. But praise God, today tribes and people groups are being reached and North India becoming a vineyard of the mission today. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, as it says, the laborers are few, the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send more workers. Therefore, we need prayer so that the Lord of the harvest will send many more missionaries. As I already said, 80% of Indian population live in rural villages. But 80% of ministries are concentrated in the towns and cities. Only 20% of the population where they live. But 80% of population are neglected. Therefore, training is necessary. Therefore, encouragement is necessary. Therefore, equipping is necessary. Iron sharpens iron. So when you train a pastor, when you train a village folk, when you train a church planter, he is equipped, he is trained, he is sharpened. His skills, his talents are being sharpened so that he can go to the villages. You and I may not be able to go to the village, but we can provide a training to him or her. Then they can go and reach out to their own congregation and they be effective in their own ministry. Early church was a proclaiming church. It was never a fearful church. It never bothered about persecution. When the persecution broke out, when the persecution grew up, they went everywhere. They spread the good news of the God, Lord Jesus Christ. So the word of the Lord increased. The good news of the Lord increased. Let it be the same with this church, with you. And the fourth fact was, the early church was a persecuted church. Early church was a persecuted church. Jesus Christ never promised us that when we follow him, when we come to faith in him, our life will be a kind of rose. Even the rose, the flower, has thorn in it. With the thorn or among the thorns, it grows up and becomes a beautiful flower. Our life is also just like that. When we want to be the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to grow through a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges, a lot of persecutions, and a lot of struggles. Jesus never promised us that when you come into faith, when you receive me, when you take me home, everything will be all right, everything will be peaceful, everything will be joyful, everything will be comfortable. Of course, those promises are there. We will receive peace that the world never gives us. My peace I give to you, Jesus promised us. He is the peace giver and he gives us peace. He gives us comfort. When we are in sorrow, when we are in sadness, he comforts us. He gives us joy that nobody else can give us in this world. But rather he said, you will have persecution. You will have trials and tribulations. You will have affliction. You will have sufferings. Acts chapter 8 verse 1 says, on that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, a city of God, city of David, a holy city. Today, entire American people are making a pilgrim to Jerusalem, Holy Land tour. Even from my country, people are traveling to Jerusalem just to see the land of Jesus. But that place was persecuted severely. The city of God, the city of David was persecuted. People were persecuted. The temple was destroyed. Saul was ravaging the church and he would enter house after house, dragging people from the house and putting them, both men and women, in the prison. During the persecution in Orissa, a sister was raped very brutally and those who raped her, multiple raped, took place upon one, and she, even today, she did not get the justice because the Indian government is unable to provide justice to her. They are simply making the news bigger and bigger. They are creating a number of issues, but they are not giving any conclusion and final decision. Those people were arrested after much longer, but they were released again. There is no proper condemnation. There is no proper justification. Christians, minorities, 3.5% of Christians, they are minority people in India. They face a lot of challenges, a lot of struggles. That is our lifestyle in India. We started a prison ministry in Orissa, in southern Orissa, and I had a privilege of visiting the prison many, many times. One time when we were doing a medical camp, a guy who has killed many people and for 7 years he was in the jail, he came. When I tried to give him some snacks, he said, sir, don't give us snack, give us the word of God. We need Bible here. So immediately I came out and I purchased some Bible and I sent them. Then we have appointed a church planter there. Every time I go there, I go to the prison to preach. We have published a songbook, Songs of Praise. That songbook is being used inside the prison. And these prisoners, they are praying, they are worshiping the pastor, the church planter who goes every week. Every Sunday he goes there and he preaches to them. Every time I go to that land, that portion, that part of the land, I go to the jail. And I hear a lot of testimonies. Many, many cases have been discharged. Many of them have been released from the jail. Their cases have been solved. God is doing marvelous things even in the prison. We need to value a human. Even if he is in the prison or even he is on the road, he is also or she is also created in the image of God. When we are created in the image of God, the same image, my brothers and sisters, whatever situation they may be, in whatever circumstances they are in, no matter. But we need to look at them. We need to value their life as God sees them. And therefore, we need to reach out to them. Therefore, we need to witness to them. Early church was a praying church. Early church was a praising church. Early church was a proclaiming church. Early church was a persecuted church. Today, your church may not face the persecution because God has placed you in such a wonderful situation, in such a wonderful places. You may have some other problems and difficulties. Only God knows that, and only He can solve that. But as a man of God and as a woman of God, it's our responsibility to come to this God in unity and in prayer. When I was an associate pastor of a church for a small time or for a short while, we started a prayer cell in front of the pulpit. We used to come. Few. We started with a very few. Two of us we started, and that began to grow, and even today they are continuing that. You may be 14 or 15 people here in this church. You have such a nice facilities. When you see this is our church meeting under the tree. We have no place. We have no buildings. But God has provided you such a wonderful facilities. But there, you have church, you have buildings, but no people. We have people, but no building, no church. Therefore, we meet in every houses. We want to build a proper worshiping place in order to bring more people to the house of the Lord. And we invite you to pray with us so that the Lord may do mighty things in India. Saint Thomas came to India in 52 AD, but until today, why the Christianity is not growing? That question always remains in my mind. How long it will take for us to spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ? How long it will take the entire world to know this Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior who saves life, who gives life. He said, I have come so that you may have life in abundance. Before me, those who have come, they are thieves. But I have come to give you life. He comes to give us eternal life. He comes to save our lives from all kinds of wretchedness, from all kinds of ruinness. So how long it will take time to the entire nations of India to know this Jesus who is the Savior of the entire universe? In Revelation chapter 7, 9, 10, we read a beautiful scripture that the time will come. Every people from every nation, people from every tribe, people from every tongue, people from every language will gather together and worshiping the Lord. That is what I'm envisioning. That is what I'm seeing through faith, through the lens of my faith. I'm seeing that God will bring to accomplish that day, that we all will rejoice together and there will be a great rejoicing in heaven. But to happen that, you and I are being called to carry out this mission. And we can start that with a prayer. I'm so impressed when Pastor was sharing with me that your church has been looking after the Lord's Prayer and praying now, began to pray. I would encourage you, come early morning, Of course, you may be working, but come in your appointed time and pray. Pray with a power. Pray with a purpose. And try to be a witness in your own workplace, in your own communities, in your own areas. It is not only India that needs Jesus. Everywhere, people need Jesus. And you can stand with us with the little things that we are trying to do and reach out to our communities in the rural areas of the villages. Many people, they don't want to go to the villages, but we want to go to the hard places. Wherever nobody goes, we would like to go there. Therefore, we need your prayer. We need your fellowship. We need your partnership. You can pray with us. Let the kingdom of God be expanded. Let the kingdom of God be established. Let this Jesus be proclaimed. Let this Jesus be praised. Let this Jesus be glorified, for which we all are called for. May God continue to bless us, continue to challenge us. You may not face the persecution the way we face our lives. You may not face the same situation the way we face in India. But nothing is new. Everything is open to you. But as a God's family, as a people of God, as a called out community, as a kingdom community, we need to pray for each other. And God can send his revival. A praying church could be a powerful church. A praying church could be a revived church. A praying church could be a worshiping church. A praying church could be a witnessing church too. And that is what God expects us to do. May God continue to bless us. Shall we pause for a moment and pray?